Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games are right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
It's good to be with you. Type our scoreboard. Just reminding you, the Storm too good for the Rabbitohs, 22 points to 8. The Panthers over the Warriors, 26-0. And we were just speaking about that enormous scoreline. The Roosters, so very impressive, 59-0 winners over the Broncos. Plenty to come. Nathan Brown is our special guest with us all day today, alongside Amber Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. And as ever, we're joined by the man himself, Brent Reed.
Mail.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, gents, ladies. How are we all?
Yeah, very well. How have you enjoyed the first couple of days of this round of footy?
Oh, I think it's been good again. I mean, again, the blowouts are a bit of a worry, particularly that Broncos score, but I'm not sure how much of that you can put down to, the new rules as opposed to how bad the Broncos were. But I think that's something we've got to keep our eye on. But the footy's been enjoyable.
All right, what about the Panthers? They've had that win. Some good news about for them as well.
Yeah, look, we obviously broke the news on Thursday night about Jimmy Tama, the fact that he's in a bit of a contract standoff with the club. But the good news is Brian Toto is pretty close to re-signing with the club. So that's a bit of bright news for the Panthers. But that Jimmy Tama situation looks as though it might linger for a bit longer. But Toto's a good young player, Brian Toto. So they're locking away their juniors, the Panthers.
Yeah, he's a great winger. And so is Josh Mansell. He's going to be on the show later on. Hey, Reedy, what about we heard Craig Bellamy speak about the difficulty we face this year with no reserve grade games. Now, Penrith have got a plan. What are they going to do?
Well, look, obviously Dylan Edwards is due back next week, and the issue for them is Dylan Edwards hasn't played for 2 months. I don't think he's played this year from memory. So, it's a difficulty every side's facing. But the Coaches Association actually had a meeting with the NRL on Friday. Kelly Egan had a meeting with the NRL on Friday, and they're going to go away and put forward a proposal, which they're going to put to the NRL. And I think the idea is that you would have almost curtain raisers before the games. They'd be like, upgraded scrimmages. They wouldn't be full on rugby league games, but they'd be scrimmages and they'd be played almost as curtain raisers to the NRL games because, you know, every club's in the same boat with this situation. Guys just can't play footy if they're not in the NRL team each week. So it's a massive issue, and I'd expect we'd have a resolution this week.
When's the earliest you think that could be up and running?
Well, I would have thought they need a bit of time, but you could do it relatively quickly, I would have thought. Just a couple of weeks, we could have a situation where that's happening. But, look, I mean, it's a real concern. The longer you go without having almost a reserve grade per se, the longer blokes go without playing footy. And, you know, we all know you can't replicate match conditions. You can do your best at training, but it's just not the same. And the less they are prepared, the more risk there is of injury. So that's an issue that the NRL really needs to address. I think it should be a priority, really, at the moment.
Hey, Reedy, is there any legs in the one where a few of the coaches come up with, blokes out of your top 30 merging sides and having sort of two or three clubs put reserve grade sides to play against each other? Did that get any legs at all?
Well, I don't think that's kicked on, Brownie. That was an issue early on, wasn't it? A discussion point early on. But I'm not sure it's got the legs that it had particularly early on. I mean, you might have that situation where it's got to happen because some clubs don't have 13, 14, 15 players sitting on the sideline. Particularly with you look at the Warriors at the moment. I mean, they're scratching the NRL. They're actually fine players. So it might be that it comes to that point where they've got to do that. And it wouldn't surprise me. But as I said, Kelly Egan's going to come up with something this week. The NRL, over the weekend, the NRL expects something next week. And it'll obviously have to be the commission, I would think. But I'd expect that'll get resolved possibly next week.
Will there be a trophy for this scrimmage competition?
The Tony Squires Memorial Reserve Grade Cup.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The NRL is stressing it's not a reserve grade cup. It's not a competition. It's purely a thing to keep blokes, give blokes some sort of match fitness, and so there won't be 2 points awarded to them.
Big wingers, you'd think they'd like to stay out in the wing, but is it true that once again Corey Oates is saying, let me get into the back row?
Well, I'm not sure Corey Oates is the one pushing it. I think the issue is Brisbane are out of back rowers. And obviously they were pretty poor the other night, and we saw that Anthony Seibold said he wanted to get Xavier Coates into the team. Well, Coates finished the game in the back row the other night. And you know, he adds a bit of experience to that, I guess, that forward pack, even though he's not used to playing there. I mean, it was an issue. It was a year or two ago, Corey Oates wanted to be a back rower because he wanted more money. He wanted to be paid more. So, well, it looks like he's going to get his chance because the Broncos, they're in dire straits with their back row. And Ben Teo, obviously, he signed during the week, but they expect him to be a few weeks away yet, Benny Teo. So it might be that Oates fills in that void until they get some troops back.
Hey, Rudy, what's the story at the Bulldogs, mate, with the changes there in the back line? What are they doing, mate?
Well, they've made a heap of them, haven't they? I think basically the entire back line's been changed. And I mean, Dean Pay had to shake things up, right? So, he's fighting to save his future, Dean Pay. And I think he's just decided he needs to make some changes. And look, the changes are pretty sweeping, Brownie.
What have they done? Here.
You put me on the spot now.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought you were the main man, Reedy.
Well, Dallin's gone to the wing. I think Nick Meaney's the only bloke who's kept his spot in that back line. Obviously, Kieran Foran comes back. There was a host of them. I couldn't keep up with them all, Brownie.
And what about putting you on the spot as well? The saga with Terry Lamb. What was he thinking? Have you spoken to him at all? You're friends with everyone.
I haven't spoken to him, no. I think, it was just a little lapse in judgment, wasn't it? I mean, I'm not going to hang him out to dry. Look, the NRL didn't hang them out to dry. They gave them, obviously, a $25,000 fine, but it was suspended. So, you know, they showed a bit of understanding there, the NRL, that it was just an honest mistake from Terry, and I think he's probably learned his lesson.
You love being put on the spot, though, really. What's the square root of 372?
Oh, is that...
No, 17? I don't know. I got 17? No. Yeah, that'll do. It is 17. Reedy, as ever, thank you so much for your mail. We'll catch up again soon, my friend.
No worries, guys.
All right. Right now, if you want to watch your live sport, there's no better way, really, obviously, Fox Sports, but KO. You can get KO, and we are here right now to give you some six-month subscriptions to KO Footy's Back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. You can sign up to KO Basic for $25 a month, or you can get it free right here, right now, by answering one simple question. You give us a call right now, 1-333-53. The Saturday Scrum. Triple M, this is the Saturday Scrum. Time now to give away some KO subscriptions. Footy's Back. KO's ticket to the best seat in your house. Sign up to KO Basic for $25 a month, or just win it right here and now. Just have to answer the question correctly, and it is yours. First opportunity goes to Mark from Brisbane. G'day, Mark.
How you going, buddy?
Very well, thank you. Are you a Broncos supporter?
No way.
Whoop, whoop. So how's that go for you? Who are you supporting?
I'm a Rooster supporter.
Oh, wow. You're in heaven then. So you're living in Brisbane. Do you watch the footy with your mates as the Roosters thrash them?
No, I was just sitting at home by myself.
Enjoying it. Laughing it up. All right, this question, listen to him. I love it. All right, well, this one should be right up your alley. What was the score on Thursday night's game between the Broncos and the Roosters?
59-0.
59-0. You have a six-month KO subscription. Well played, Mark. And Daniel from beautiful Wollongong, are you a disappointed St. George Illawarra fan?
Mate, mighty Newcastle is the only team in the comp, so we should be right there.
Wow. Okay. All right. They're going very well at the moment. Okay, Daniel, your question. We have him in the studio here. Which NRL team did Nathan Brown play for?
Mate, not so mighty, but the St. George Dragons.
The mighty, mighty Dragons.
Leave the Dragons alone, mate.
Sorry, Granny.
You're right, pal. Hey, I'm a Knights and a Dragon at the moment, so.
Ah, beautiful.
No, you can't split it up. Can you? Okay. Yes, well, you Daniel, can. Yeah, you've
in England, I go for Huddersfield and St. Helens.
That's true. Well done, Daniel. You have won yourself a KO subscription as well. And now we have Rami. G'day, Rami.
How are you?
Very well, thank you, Amy. Can you, for your KO subscription, can you name the four undefeated teams this season as we stand?
Penrith?
Correct.
Parramatta?
Correct.
Canberra?
Correct.
Newcastle and Melbourne.
Newcastle, you are... Absolutely correct. The Eels, the Panthers, the Knights and the Raiders.
Give him 12 months because he threw in Melbourne. He only needed four, but he threw in Melbourne. So
but
give
Melbourne's
him 12
incorrect.
Months.
Yeah, they've already had a loss.
But that was the hardest question of all. So.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So he's still going. He gets the 6 months. Okay. I can't be just going around with my own volition saying, you know what,
well,
Rami, because we like
months
you,
off one
we're
of the
giving
other...
you
no,
a lifetime subscription.
Just take 6 months off one of the other guys. This question wasn't so hard and give it to Rami.
Hey, give him 6 months of free coffee at Girdler's Grind.
It's in your best interest to give away more eyeballs on your show on a Tuesday night.
That's true. That's true. Backpatch Tuesday night, 7:30. Honestly, wonderful view.
Is that on KO?
I think so. I hope so.
Okay.
It's not that something I have to go and call my agent right here, right now. You listen to the Saturday Scrum. We're talking about the Dragons.
You might end up playing for the Broncos.
Absolutely. Paul McGregor, what next?
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gertler, Tony Squires, Nathan Brown with you on this Saturday afternoon. All right. The Dragons. Every headline says Dragons in crisis. Every headline says Paul McGregor. Is his time as coach at the Dragons up? He obviously has the contract into the end of next season. But will the pin be pulled early? Nathan Brown, now, obviously, before we get into, you know, what you think should happen or wouldn't happen, as a coach, often, I guess, from the outside, the emotional toll that must go through coaches and their families when there's all this stuff that's going on. There's so few jobs going on. There's always speculation about it. And like the animals in the savannah, no coach dies of old age. Somebody's coming to get them at some point. Is it hard to deal with?
Yeah, look, sometimes, you know, your family and your close friends, you know, they go through it with you. There's a lot of people that go through the ups and downs with you. Yeah. And it certainly does get challenging at times, but we certainly all know when we throw our hat in the ring, we certainly know that, you know, most coaches at some stages go through it. Some go through it more than others, and how you handle it probably in some way has an impact on how long you coach for. If you don't handle it very well, you don't last very long. If you handle it reasonably well and you get yourself going, you last a little longer.
And can you avoid the outside talk? Because surely a friend or someone's hearing the rumours about you're under pressure. So surely you're hearing it. You can't avoid it, can you?
Well, it's pretty much impossible because if you don't look yourself, which I'm not into social media and all that, you'll have a friend ring up and say, oh, what about that bludger that said this about you? Or my daughter's in, they'll say, Dad, I don't know what they said about you. How funny is that? My daughters give it to me as well. So you can't really escape it, but what you can't do is, you can't get engrossed in reading the paper and listening to what all other people say. You've just, you know, as a younger coach, when I was very, very young, you know, you can get caught listening to too many people. You just need to bunker down. You got your close staff. And every good coach or every coach that's been coaching for a long time has one or two mentors. Even Wayne Bennett will tell you he had one or two mentors. Everyone's got one or two mentors that at times you need to lean on, and they help guide you through the path when you need it.
Who were yours?
Oh, look, my best mentor is, you know, apart from the old man, it's probably Maxie Ninnis. He's passed away now, Maxie, but he provided a lot for me. And if you spoke to Trent Barrett and numbers of people that have come through the Dragons, Brian Smith, David Waite, they'd all say that Max was a great one to lean on at times.
Eventually the numbers stack up, don't they? And they can be difficult to work with. And at the Dragons, what is it, 4 wins in 21 games? Just a couple, I think, in the last 15 games, only two, both of those were against the Titans. It's a club that has over the years demanded success. And so, as you say, the dogs are circling around Paul McGregor. Where do you think they go? You know, he's got a contract. Do they make a move or do they just stay where they are?
Look, I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of, since the new ownership, how the Dragons are run. What I do know in my time when I played and coached there, that when Peter Douse was the controlling figure, Peter Douse didn't care what the media said. He could distance himself from that. Some clubs and some people who make big decisions at clubs, they can't handle the media pressure sometimes, and the media pressure or the personalities, there's so many shows now, you know, some people do get itchy at that, you know, so sometimes some coaches may be on a good path, maybe going down the right track, but got one or two things wrong, and the right people who are strong in leadership can hang on to them. Others don't. I don't know how the ins and outs of the Dragons works now. I haven't been there for a long, long time. Mary, you know, we all know as coaches that we are under pressure when we are. We don't need to, I suppose, read about it or get told about it because you know yourself, and, you know, Mary knows where he's at the moment. And I think, you know, when you look at the team that he's picked, I think he's made one or two changes. and he's tried to get, I suppose, his best and most experienced players out there and challenging them to perform for him whilst also giving a young halfback an opportunity.
We just spoke about the Brisbane Broncos recruitment and retention. What have you made of the last 4 or 5 years of recruitment and retention down at St. George Illawarra?
Oh, look, there's certainly some things that, from my opinion, I would have done a little bit different, but that doesn't mean they're right or wrong. The recruitment's and the club. The biggest thing for me for the Dragons and the Bulldogs is, you know, both clubs in grand finals in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, both clubs produced lots of good players from the bottom. And I said this before about when you watch the Roosters run out the other night and people talk about, you know, the Roosters do have an advantage. They can recruit at the high end of the market, which not many clubs can. But you've got to produce your own players. And the Roosters would have run out the other day with 10 or 12 players who debuted or made their first senior appearance for the club. And at the moment, the Bulldogs and the Dragons just aren't producing enough good players at the bottom end. So it just makes your recruitment difficult because when you're buying lots of players and you're sacking coaches and changing coaches, philosophies are different. And when you're going into the marketplace all the time, no recruiter can get it right. No coach can get it right when you're making so many decisions. The best clubs make 2 or 3 a year. They transition a couple out, transition a couple in, and they get stronger. The clubs that struggle, that don't produce enough players from the bottom, they keep going to the marketplace. They're generally attracting players that the top clubs don't want.
Yep.
So your roster, regenerating your roster becomes extremely difficult, you know. And, you know, at Newcastle, you know, a lot of people look at who our best signing was in my time there. The best signing we made, obviously Kalyn Ponga coming first was good, but Aidan Guerra was the first player of note that come to our club. And Aidan Guerra attracted Mitchell Pearce because they sell the story for you. The good players, they go into Origin camp, they then become your best recruiter. And then Mitchell Pearce gets David Clemmer, and then all of a sudden they get Tyson Frizzell.
Yep.
And that's how we're at the moment. You know, the Bulldogs and Dragons, what dream are they selling to a Mitchell Pearce or a David Clemmer to get them to come to their club now if you're not producing a Kalyn Ponga and that? Because the good players want to play where they can win. And most clubs have got a reasonable amount of money to spend. But at the moment, for both clubs, for me, until they get the bottom right, they are going to have problems, regardless of who the coach is.
The news during the week, the story was saying that Paul McGregor has 2 games to save his job. Now, I think that might have been, you know, news talk rather than actual a phone call that said you've got 2 games.
You don't listen to anything the media say. should have learned that lesson. Yeah.
But certainly there is perception, given that the run they've got, and they've got the Bulldogs, I think they've got the Sharks as well. There are a couple of games that were deemed winnable. Certainly the Warriors one last week was as well. That performance, not getting a point on the board. When you first come back after that break, you would have thought they would have come back charged with emotion and ready to go, and that is what wasn't on display. That is difficult for the coach.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest criticisms from whether it be members of the media, former players, former coaches, was not just the loss last week, but the nature of that loss as well, and that at times it didn't look like some players wanted to be there and they weren't buying in and there wasn't this sort of sense of connection. So it wasn't just a loss, but it seems to be far deeper issues. And it doesn't matter whether or not I don't know what's going on down there in Wollongong and whether or not Paul McGregor is the right person for that job. The point is that if they lose another couple of games, it's going to be hard to argue that he should keep his job. And as you mentioned, that a lot of administrators are reactive. There are not many out there that can really stand firm. And if they believe a coach is the right person for that job, they'll keep them there. So if they lose another couple in a row, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make a decision like that over the next couple of months. Over the next month, sorry.
They also need to be aware of who's in the marketplace. You know, I mean, there's no use firing a guy that you don't think is doing a good job if you haven't got someone who's, you know, really competent to replace them. And who is in the market at the moment looking for an opportunity? Obviously, you know,
Craig Fitzgibbon,
Craig Fitzgibbon's an interesting one. Obviously, a guy that came through their system down there, but he must have a great work ethic, but he must have the best job in the world at the moment. He's doing his apprenticeship under probably one of the best coaches that we're going to see in our game for so many different reasons at a successful club and without all the, you know, anxiety and pressure. He probably goes through a little bit of that and probably paid really well as well. So where's the motivation? Obviously, he's going to have ambition at some point. But where's, you know, it's going to be hard to attract a guy like that away from an organisation that he's in to go down and start his career in a rebuilding phase at a club that's in a difficult situation. You know all about that, Brad.
Yeah, no, yeah, Mary's in a tough situation at the moment, but you know, Emma spoke about the type of performance the Dragons put in the other day, and as a coach, when you don't get that good effort, that you do feel that's far worse than the players not executing well. And
do you feel let down by the players when the effort's not there? Because you can excuse a lack of execution, but the effort, that's surely...
Well, generally, most of us go, how did I get that to happen? That's what we think, you know, because at the end of the day, we're supposed to get them to compete well. And sometimes players have an off day. And, you know, I remember, you know, in Huddersfield, I went to Huddersfield and it was a great time coaching at Huddersfield. I loved my time there. And for my first 3.5 years at Huddersfield, the players there every week played above and beyond what I couldn't expect anymore. And then when I signed with St. Helens, it was a really bizarre thing because I lost the group, you know, because I didn't actually lie to the players, but at the time, me and my wife, it was time to come home. We'd been there 4 years, so we actually told Huddersfield that the start of the year, this is our last year, we're going to come home, and we were competing and we're in the top four and well on the way in the Challenge Cup in the quarterfinals, and then St. Helens come knocking at the door and we decided to stay. So then I signed with St. Helens and it was like I'd betrayed their trust, which in essence, I see why it happened. And then the next 4 or 5 weeks, the effort and that was just gone. And the CEO is still a mate of mine, Richard Tillis. We sat down and had a chat after about 5 or 6 weeks. And I said, we've got a cup quarterfinal coming up. If I can't get these blokes up for that, I said, I'm shot. And we played the Challenge Cup quarterfinal. We're down 30 at halftime. And so we parted ways because I'd lost that group. And I'd lost it because I was going to come home. And then I sort of betrayed their trust a bit. And when you lose it, it can be heartbreaking. But there's different reasons why it can happen. But that's how it happened to me at Huddersfield. And it's a sad way to leave. Was a great time of my coaching life.
Is that weird that the notion of, because we hear it all the time, he's lost the dressing room. Do you walk in and you see a couple of players who were talking and they stop talking when you walk in? Does that, those sorts of things happen?
Oh, look, it can be extremely difficult when you know that it's happened. Like, I mean, you look at the Dragons in Wayne's time there, how good they were.
Yep.
And then Wayne said, I'm going to Newcastle.
Yep.
And Wayne's last 6 or 8 weeks at the Dragons, like, they would look like they were a better team than when they won the comp. And then all of a sudden, some of them couldn't get out of their own way. It's like, it can be really bizarre. And when it happens, it can be really difficult to turn around. And, you know, you look at, to Brad Arthur's credit, Parramatta there finished last, made one or two changes and whatever Brad and his staff did. But then last year they finished fifth and now they're one of the favourites, you know. But if you lose a group mid-year, it's extremely difficult.
All right. I was going to ask you directly, do you think Paul McGregor should continue to coach the Dragons?
I think over the next couple of weeks we'll find out, because the players are well aware now of how much input they're having in this situation. And they go out and not talking about execution or results, if they just go out this week and have a really good dig, it shows you that they're still listening, he's still got their ear and they want to play for him. But if they go out on the weekend against the Bulldogs, knowing the situation the coach is in, knowing that a bad performance will basically just put another nail in the coffin, so to speak, well, then we'll get the indication. I think we get an indication on Monday.
I don't want to be a coach defender all the time, Tame, which I'm going to be.
Yep.
But at the start of the year, like if you look at, like, obviously Mary's copping some stick, Dean Pay's copping some stick, who honestly thought those two squads were going to be competing in September at the start of the year? I didn't think they were going to be.
Yep.
And there's plenty of people that are judging both coaches at the moment, but they're the same people who, when you look at their top 10 teams in the competition, they didn't have them there.
Mm.
So there's, you know, sometimes some of them can be harshly judged sometimes, in my opinion. Yeah. But as I said, I'm a coach defender. So,
all right. Blowouts galore. How do we do it? Is it going to happen for the rest of the season? Trent Robinson thinks there will be more. Certainly his Roosters did it against the Broncos. That's next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for Kim G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And another thing, why aren't the Morris boys both playing for the Dragons right now? Why are they both playing for the Roosters? Nathan Brown is with us, of course. Maybe the Saturday Scrum.
Maybe they've got a couple of years left in them, Tane. Who knows? Maybe they can pry them back to their to their roots for a couple of swan song years down there at the St. George Illawarra.
Haven't they been terrific players, though?
Amazing.
So it doesn't matter which club they've played for, which coach they've played for, they've caused no off-field drama.
Yep.
Outstanding players. And, and like, I thought Josh at Cronulla played as good as he's ever played.
He was brilliant.
Got back into the origin side as well. Imagine if they finished together and with a premiership.
Yeah, well, it's
you couldn't
not
script
unlikely.
That any better.
Not unlike, and Brett Morris, as he does, they're both such professionals, aren't they? He gets moved back when James Tedesco's out, and he goes and plays fullback and is absolutely safe and does great things. And Josh there in the centres. And that blowout, 59-0, as you mentioned, all credit to the Roosters. But Trent Robinson was spoke afterwards, and we're talking about the notion of the blowout with these new rules and how it can affect players and teams on different levels. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, we're going to see less close scorelines. I think that's a given. I don't think anybody's going to debate that. You're not going to see the closeness of the competition like it has been in the past. And the most resilient teams will be in the game for 80 minutes. And there's some teams that won't be in the game by the 70th minute mark with the new rules.
And we've seen that a bit, haven't we? As you said, 21 points, I think, is the average since we've resumed in terms of the difference between two teams, and that we had the one draw. But it may well happen. And I don't think the NRL would be too concerned and go, oh, we better just subtly slow it down a bit. But we're going to see it.
Well, I think the coaches will adjust, and there'll be an adjustment period to the point where they'll soon all realise there's bigger consequences now than there ever were. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, with South Sydney last night, got themselves right back in the contest, kept dropping the football, handing the ball over on early plays, and just basically gave the 2 points to the Melbourne Storm. And that allowed the little bit of a blowout at the back. But look, I believe there will be obviously a little bit of what Trent's talking about. We're going to see some blowouts between the Roosters and some of the sides that are obviously struggling a little more, but I think the quality of the games we're going to see are the ones of the top sides is going to go to another level as well. And I think at some point the coaches will realise and the players will realise that, you know, mistakes are just so crucial that they'll try and get them out of the game, and there'll be more emphasis on them what there are at the moment, I would say.
I just like the fact that, I mean, sure, the Roosters-Broncos game was a blowout, but at the very least, some may disagree, I still thought the fact that we saw so many tries, it was still an entertaining game. So at times when it can be low scoring, but just, you know, a lot of wrestle, there'd be a tendency to turn over. But the fact that there was constantly try after try, I found myself, oh, I'll just keep it on. You know, just keep watching. I still found it an entertaining game of footy, despite it being
I reckon if you're a Broncos fan, you might have found the off switch.
If you're a neutral fan, it was still, and the purpose of these rule changes was, according to the broadcasters and Peter Volandis, to make the game more entertaining. So would you rather a 4-all game or 59-0?
Well, I think we'd probably rather 28-24.
But if you're not going to get
28-24 is because you get the tries from both teams, as opposed to when the game's over at halftime.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, oh, but the tries, as Gerds has already pointed, the Roosters' skill and ability to shift the ball, and it was brilliant to watch. It was outstanding to watch from a football lover's point of view, but I just hope that what we don't get is where the balance of the play, the ball speed gets too fast, and we get to a stage where we have four dummy half runs or four hit ups and a kick. That's all I hope. But it certainly seems to be a good balance now. The footy's enjoyable, but we don't need it to get any quicker.
How do you, as a coach, what do you do in to try to just subtly slow it down? We talked about the Roosters last week. Fletch thought that they were standing them up, you know, quite well in terms of the tackle rather than the wrestle on the ground. They held them up a little bit. But what are the tactics?
Well, what you'll see is you know, coaches are paid to bend the rules, basically, you know, and what you'll see over 6 or 8 weeks' time, you'll see some coaches come up with some different techniques to, I suppose, to change that play the ball speed or get an advantage in their way, and that's where it'll come down to the, I suppose, the savviness of the referees to probably work out what they're trying to do as well, you know. And, you know, back in the day, you know, I was only talking to Bill Harrigan the other day about it. You know, a lot of the referees, the olden day referees, they actually had some football awareness about them, you know, because they come up as one referees and probably followed the game a lot more and didn't have the coaching, where a lot of the referees today have been getting coached and in some ways maybe overcoached, as we've done with football players. Mm. You know, we had Christian Walsh highlight about the coaching of the NRL player as opposed to the Pommy player who comes out and just plays what's in front of him. And so, you know, for the referees to be able to, I suppose, adapt to what the coaches and the players are trying to do. It'll be important to maintain the speed as well.
I just speaking, you mentioned English players. George Williams, were you aware of just how good he was?
Yeah, look, George, when I was at St. Helens, Wigan and St. Helens have generally got, you know, two of the best junior sides, and George played against a really good St. Helens side as a, was he 16, I think he was, in under-16s, George, when I was first at St. Helens, and everyone knew of George Williams. You know, Amos Roberts was playing for Wigan, and I used to talk to Amos on the phone, and Amos actually rang me and said, "Brownie, there's this kid at Wigan called George Williams." And I went across to St. Helens, who we obviously are St. Helens and Wigan. There's just, you talk about a hatred for each other that's like you've never seen. So for George Williams, for a player to go from Wigan to St. Helens or St. Helens to Wigan, it's just, it's not a done thing, you know. But so I've witnessed George play as a young kid and always thought he would be a very good NRL player. I did actually think it might have taken him 6 or 8 weeks to adapt because the defensive line pressure out is, you know, far more constant than in England, but the little change of rules has opened the game up. And we saw George the other day, you know, with his English mates, that, you know, Canberra's ahead of the game as far as their recruitment goes with the new rules.
Did you try to get John Bateman over at one stage?
I've tried to sign Johnny Bateman a few times. Yeah. I tried to sign him at Huddersfield when he was 16, and he said no, the bugger. And then I tried to get him to Newcastle about 3 years ago, but he wasn't ready to come out then because of his situation with his daughter. And then, as Rick's done so well with the, you know, they've recruited some really, really good Pommy players, and it's changed the Canberra club.
Mm. All right, we're going to come back and play a game called 3 in 5 on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company, and lovely, love the support of King G, where comfort is king. We thank them so much for that support. Nathan Brown is here with us, and I'm not sure, Brown, if you've played the game 3 and 5 with us before. Before you answer that question, just here is the opener.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3 in 5.
I love Tony Sessions. Yeah. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5.
Good. I'm glad I'm asking you the questions because the three of you are all eating away. What'd you have for
lunch? I'm not eating.
What's your lunch plan today?
Well, we just, the usual, Tony. Mm-hmm. It's convenient. Charlie gets us some sort of
combination.
I actually think he takes our money and brings it from home. I think he makes it in the morning. He does a little stir fry up, takes $20 off each of us. And,
where's
and
your
makes probably about
95%. He's a go-getter.
Yeah.
Tony didn't have lunch with us because he brought his own eye fillet in.
Yeah, well, my wife, when I came down before I left, and she had the little on the sideboard there, so there's the leftovers, she'd packed it up. I thought, well, how can you, I can't just leave.
I think he's definitely managed by Isaac Mose if he's eating eye fillet, because Isaac does good deals. So he must be.
Little medium rare eye fillet.
Yeah. We cooked twice.
I'm not cooking it again.
Do you eat a cold? I don't think you have a cold eye fillet.
It's just not a leftover dish.
What do you mean?
Eye fillet.
Well,
once you cook it once.
What's the definition of a leftover dish? If you've eaten and you didn't
like
finish
pasta,
everything.
Something that you can, you know, reheat the next day and it's just as good. But
no,
you can't reheat a steak.
I get that, like, cornflakes isn't a leftover dish, but, you know, I really think it's that a fillet.
Mismanagement of the original serve, I'd have to say, Tony.
Restaurant style. So you either eat the whole thing.
Or don't cook it all.
What, I'm going to cut my eye fillet in half before I put it in the oven?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this game is called 3 and 5. I'm going
to
ask three questions.
No, Skipper died, didn't he? I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that.
Skipper was my dog. He was a smooth fox terrier. He was really, really close.
Gerds did not like him at all.
He came in last year and just, he stunk and he laid under my feet for the whole thing.
He didn't.
He did. He laid under your
Skipper.
Feet.
He did. He liked you.
Stink.
He did. Well, dogs tend to do that. They tend to go to the people who don't like them at all. That's a weird thing.
Isn't it?
All right. So I'm going to ask you three questions. And each question you get, you have 5 seconds, in fact, 3 and 5 seconds to answer those three questions. All right. I'm going to start with you, M. Now, the Roosters, obviously, as we said, travelling absolutely beautifully. Will they go the three-peat? Looks like they may well do. Can you name three teams that have indeed gone back-to-back-to-back?
The Broncos? No. Oh.
One? Well, like, it's 5 seconds. That's it.
Yeah, no, the Broncos haven't gone back-to-back-to-back.
Dragons, South.
The Dragons did, of course, went 11 times, if you want to know. South Sydney, I think, might have gone 8 at some point in their career.
Yes.
The Eels in the 80s were 3. And and then Eastern Suburbs might have been back in the 20s. Mm. They also had 3 in a row. Okay,
well,
coach.
Well.
Yeah, that went very, very well. Coach, I'm going to ask you a coach question. How's this? Aside from, and we're talking about the Broncos today, aside from Anthony Seibold, name three Brisbane coaches.
Wayne Bennett, Anthony Griffin, Ivan Henjak.
Bang, bang, bang. Absolutely. Well, you've got three to beat. And yeah. A game called 3-5, that's very, very tough.
It is.
So if you can get four,
yeah,
you take home the bacon. It is the Queen's birthday weekend.
Oh.
So I thought I'd ask you this, because your love of music. Name three Queen songs.
Bohemian Rhapsody. That's all I know.
That's all you know.
That's all I know.
That's all you know. Brandy, how would you have gone with that?
I'm out of play.
All right. Yeah. Fat Bottom Girls, you think you have that? We Are the Champions, okay. Radio Gaga, yeah, We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
Another one, Bites the Dust.
Yeah.
Under Pressure. Congratulations, Nathan Brown. You have won this edition of 3-5. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.